so heartbreaking. Huh? With your kind permission, I will attempt to talk in this evening classes about a very, very valuable book for entering into the understanding of what is Braj Bhakti. It is Srila Raghunandas Goswami's Sri Braj Vilastava, or Prayers Glorifying the Lord's Pastimes in Braj. What is so nice is that this composition is written in the style of stava, prayers. Let us contemplate why this is valuable for us. It is known that if one wants to reach the goal of one's spiritual practice, which is known as satya, one must be mindful of the goal while practicing it. The example which is given in the Bhagavatam is the example of bow shooting. Bow shooting is the practice of bow shooting is of course complete only when the arrow goes to the target. So in order to reach the goal of bow shooting, the bow shooter must be mindful, he must aim at the target. So in the same way, we are hearing that in mantra practice, Jiva Goswami says we have to be chintanam, or thinking about the true value or the meaning of the mantra. For instance, if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is a mantra Radha and Krishna, Hare is Radha and Krishna of course is Krishna, you must meditate while chanting about the meaning of this mantra. Srila Prabhupada gave us a core meaning which is very much in line of the teachings of Gopal Guru Goswami. It is, my dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. So while you're sitting there and doing your main practice of chanting, you actually orient or target your consciousness towards Radha and Krishna with a specific request to get a particle of their service. Now, it is also a known secret in our tradition. If you want to cultivate attachment to Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes, you must have a role model. If you want to be mindful of Krishna and all what is around Krishna, his pastimes, his entourage, his land, the best way to really cultivate that attachment is by following those who have that attachment. So sadhakas, practitioners in this world, follow the ideal example of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, who had this attachment. As we hear from the Goswami Astakam, they were swimming in the waves of the ocean of love of Godhead. They would be endearing by their good qualities both to the ruffians and the gentiles. Here in Braj, they would study the Shastras and they would constantly praise the Lord of Braj and search him out. They would go to Yamuna or to Govardhan and shout out, "Where are you, beloved of Lalita and Vishakha, where are you, O Radha? Where are you, O Krishna? So this example of the Goswamis going in the land of Vrindavan, studying the Shastras, being kind to every single person, is also something which we have to emulate when we come to the we actually follow in the example of the Goswamis. We study the Shastras, we put our mouth full with the holy names of Krishna, always mouthful and heartful of holy names, and we long for them, following the example of the Goswamis. And also, and this is now very much described in this book, we try to hear carefully about the activities of the residents of the eternal spiritual world who have attachment to Krishna. What we want to learn is something which Prabhupada describes in the 10th canto of the Bhagavata. We want to learn from them how to love Krishna. For instance, he writes in about Mother Yashoda that those devotees who want to develop love of Krishna like Yashoda, they follow the example how Yashoda was serving Krishna, how she was binding Krishna, how she was serving Krishna in various ways. So this book, Sri Braj Vilasthava, is a guidebook in two ways. It tells you a little bit about the personal worship of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. You can see right in the two verses which we will read today, you will hear a little bit about their practice, and you will also hear about what the associates of Lord Krishna do in the spiritual world and how they love him. In other words, you will learn how to follow in your here in this world those who are attached to Krishna, and you will also look very reverentially and very inquisitive to those who serve Krishna in the spiritual world. So in this work, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami praises the Lord of Braj, and he praises also Sri Sri Radha Krishna's associates and their various relationships to the divine couple and their pastimes. At the end of this book, Raghunath Das Goswami gives a promise. He says, those who happily read these verses with great respect and greedy enthusiasm will be able to directly see the divine couple surrounded by their associates in this land of Braj. In other words, this book is a guidebook to Braj Bhakti, and as you will listen to it and recite it in an enthusiastic and eager way, you will actually see through the eyes of Raghunath Das Goswami and through the eyes of his Shastra what he sees, that is the divine couple surrounded by their loving associates. He says, those who happily recite this Braj Vilasthava, which is sublime and which constantly increases the loving sentiments of the inhabitants of Braj, you know, it will certainly be able to see Sri Sri Radha Krishna along with their associates in Sri Vrindavan Dham. To be very clear, I would like to summarize the introduction to this book. This book is a guidebook. It gives us two types of role models whom we should follow: the Goswami's practice and also the eternally liberated souls of who relate to Krishna. By just following in their footsteps, just understanding what they do and understanding what they feel and how they love Krishna, a spark of that love will come into our heart, purify the heart, and then on that mirror of the heart there is a chance for some divine revelation. Alright, let us start with the first verse. Pratishta rajubhivadam kamadya vatma patibihi chitvata samharantastan nagore patumambata. Like most of Raghunath Das Goswami's works, this work also starts with an expression of utmost humility. Just hear him and you will be able to identify with what he says. The highwayman, lust, and his followers have captured me and bound me with the ropes of the desire for fame and distinction. I pray that the heroic devotees of Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Aga demon, may save me by annihilating my captors and cut the ropes that bind me. Because some of us are a little tired and have difficulties to concentrate, let me summarize the verse. Raghunath Das Goswami lays out a picture before us. There's a road which leads to bhakti and the sadhya, the goal of bhakti. I am walking on this road, but there are gundas or highwaymen on the road. It's the supreme enemy of all this of the world. It's lust and his followers, and they bind the sadhaka with ropes. It's like when you are traveling on a bullock cart, then the gundas have an easy play. They just jump, they tear you down from the bullock cart, they throw you on the ground, and then they take ropes and bind you hand and feet. So he describes this is the picture of a person trying to become a bhakta. There's so much lust and greed and anger surrounding him that sometimes they are successful. They bind the sadhaka and then they bind him up. What is the rope which they use? It's the desire for pratishtha. It is said even if you can outwardly give up lust, that desire to be honored amongst devotees, the desire to be honored amongst your followers is very, very strong. Is there help? Oh yes, there is help. But before we come to this, I want to say the instructions to the mind, or Mana Shiksha by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, starts with the same point. You must give up pride and develop humility. You must start by seeing your fallen condition. You must come to understand, yes, I'm traveling the road of bhakti, very good. But lust, the all-devouring enemy of this world, has overwhelmed me with his fellow plunderers, anger and greed. They have thrown me down. They have bound me hand and feet by the subtle form of lust, pratishna, and plundered my real wealth of my bhajan. Now I'm devotionally penniless. But a devotee doesn't come in his attempts to practice Braj Bhakti to this zero point. I am devotionally poor. I'm penniless. He has not come to the starting point of the Goswami's practices. The Goswami's right. Humility is the cause for prema, and prema is also the cause for humility. Each one give birth to each other. This is maybe difficult to understand it. There's lots of literature available. I will just say this is how the Goswami's practice. There is one work, Pratana Patati, the guidebook of prayer by Rupa Goswami, where he describes in the fifth verse his condition. He says, I'm bowing down and I'm rolling about on the shore of the Yamuna. My heart is agitated, my voice breaks, and I appeal to you now with a voice choked by emotion, save my life. Although I have committed boundless offenses, although I am unqualified, although I have a crooked intelligence which tells me, no, everything is all right. Yes, a little offenses you have done, but everyone does it, you know. And they're unqualified. I mean, I'm not so unqualified as the rest of ISKCON, you know. You may think like this, but this is the crooked intelligence. If you must come to the understanding that you are fallen, that you must go down to get the highest. The lower you bend, the higher you can reach. This is what bhakti means, and it was discussed last year at length at the Govardhan retreat. So, a voice, so what does he want? He says, please give this person a small portion of service. Just imagine Rupa Goswami at the banks of the Yamuna, rolling in the sand, considering himself the abode of offenses and totally unqualified, and criticizing his intelligence. I mean, he has written a lot of shastras saying that my intelligence is just very crooked. And then begging, please give me some service. Please give me some service. Please give me some service. We need to understand this. Although, you know, you may be disqualified in many ways, but if you have the desire to honor, then you will conveniently overlook your faults. It's not a problem to be disqualified. Every true Vaishnava will understand he's disqualified. The problem arises when he becomes bound by the desire for pratishtha. And this is why Raghunath Das Goswami says, I'm bound by the rope of pratishtha, I have no chance. Because if you cheat others and yourself by deceiving yourself and being qualified, then you have no chance. So So now, is there a way out? Hare Krishna Maharaj, we wish you a very restful night and a very prosperous day tomorrow. Yes. Hare Krishna. So, I want to say, if you have this force, but then you are bound by the ropes of pratishtha, you are immobile, you are not able to move forward. So you may ask, is there hope for such a cheetah? And the surprising answer is, certainly there's hope. Raghunath Das Goswami says, pray to the heroic soldiers, the devotees, to save you. The Sadhu Sangha is the birthplace of true devotional inclination. It is always said, this is a verse which is often quoted in relationship to the effects of Sadhu Sangha. The 10th canto, Muchukunda, says, when a conditioned soul has a meeting with a sadhu, at that time his material life stops because his matihi, his inclination to render service, is gone. This is what happens when you meet a real devotee. You get the inclination. Inclination, what's that? It's an inner orientation. When you, in other words, we may be disqualified and we may be bound by pratishtha, but if we come together with a real devotee, first of all, it's like looking in a mirror. Oh, can you see how fallen you are? But then much more, what happens much more is the qualities of humility become invested in your hearts, the humility of the sadhus, and by the nectar of their Krishna katha, they will overwhelm our hearts with the sweetness of Krishna. Therefore, please, if you know, sing along with me. Tavakatam ritam tatati manam kavibiritam karma shabaham shravanamangalam shri madatatam bhavanti ye bhunida janam. These devotees are real welfare workers because they give us the amrita, the nectar of Krishna katha, and by this Krishna katha, by hearing Krishna katha, shravanam mangalam, all the auspiciousness come. So now Raghunatha Das Goswami says, even if I'm saved from lust and desire for distinction, still the force of old age is upon me. My very body is not cooperating with me, but is an obstruction to my bhajan. This he expresses like this. Daktam vadakavam yavani bhyaram dashtam durantya hina vidamam ati pravasya vishikai krokari singher vritam swamin prema sudadavam karunaya drakpayaya shri hare yenaitam avidirtya santatamaham diro bhavantam bhaje. He says, I am scorched by the blazing forest fire of old age. I am deeply bitten by the poisonous snake of blindness. I am pierced by the sharp arrows of false dependence on others. And I am surrounded by the lions of anger, lust and greed. Oh my master, oh Hari, please give me the nectarian potion of pure love for you, which will make me strong and heroic enough to resist all the enemies and constantly engage in your devotional service without deviation. My dear devotees, you are all young and hale and hearty, but Bhadra Prabhu and our Goswami Maharaj, myself, have already gray hairs, and we can tell you the time for bhajan is now. When you are getting old, your body just is giving too much trouble. He mentions the fire of old age. He says he's bitten by the poisonous snake of blindness. That means spectacles need to be worn. He cannot see properly. At that time there were no spectacles. He also speaks, of course, of an other blindness, the blindness of ignorance, of avidya, which tells him. He's pierced by the sharp arrows of forced dependence on others. When you are old, you need someone to cook your food for you. You need someone to, like I have a whole, I have a two supply crews. They cook, they wash the clothes, they clean the plate, and so on. Now, but this is in a civilized situation. Remember, imagine an old sadaka. In the old times where there's no electricity and no hot water, how he becomes dependent on others. And we will hear a little bit about Raghunath Goswami in his old age in just a moment. And he says he's surrounded by the lions of anger. When you are old, you become short-tempered. And small things begin to disturb you because the vata is high and you become easily irritated and also anger. Then he says, he just like in the previous verse, he calls out for the devotees to help him. He now calls out to Swami. Swami means my master, and he calls him by name. Oh Hari, Hari means and Krishna can take away all the miseries from his devotees. Please give me the nectarian potion of pure love for you, which will make me strong and heroic enough to resist all these enemies and constantly engage in your devotional service without deviation. In the Bhakti Ratnaka, there is a description about Raghunath Das Goswami. It's from an eyewitness who has seen, Raghunath Das Goswami. You will see from this description that he was always absorbed in bhajan. He had no problem like that. But still he writes like this because of a very important factor in devotional life. He says, his eyes, the author says, his eyes, Raghunath Das Goswami's eyes, were always full with the tears of love. You could never see the eyes of Raghunath Das Goswami without tears. He would roll in the dust of Braj and he was crying for his gurus, Swarup Damodar and Rupa and Sanatana. Oh, Swarup Damodar, O Rupa, O Sanatana, please help me. His mouth was always full with the divine names of Radha and Krishna. Sleep never came to his eyes, because for 24 hours a day he would remember Radha and Krishna always. He would take food, mostly it was just a little, how do we say this, char?
Buttermilk.
He would take food only every 2 or 3 days, and sometimes a little something. And therefore he was so emaciated and fragile. But still, he would always offer obeisances to each Vaishnava. That's Raghunatha Goswami. And sometimes he would not be able to get up after the obeisances, because his body was just so weak. Then the Vaishnavas would strongly forbid him, "Do not pay your obeisances." But Raghunatha Goswami would not follow their advice, but still paid their obeisances. We know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he would always return obeisances when someone paid obeisances to him. He would bow down and say, "Das hus mi." So sometimes his disciples did obeisances from a hidden place. So I can well imagine that some Vaishnavas, not wanting Raghunatha Goswami to get down and pay obeisances, they're paying obeisances from behind a tree. I can well imagine, out of etiquette. When he worships his Giriraj, this is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Gunja beads, which were also given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would see directly Sri Nandanana Krishna in Giriraj and cry in ecstasy. That was his sadhana. So, from this we know that he was certainly relishing the deepest ecstasy of bhakti. But still, and this is now an important point for you to follow, here he prays for the nectarian drink of prema. It's called prema shuddha dravam. He wants the drink of bhakti or love, although he actually already swims in an ocean of it. And here, this is the nature of bhakti. Listen to this nature. A person who has bhakti will always, or has prema, with love of Krishna, will always feel he has not a drop of it. Sanatana Goswami gives to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to Sanatana Goswami an example. He says he's in a way like a cholera patient. A cholera patient wants to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. He can never drink enough. He just drinks and drinks and drinks for some reason. So according to Baladev Vidya Bhushana, bhakti means thirst. If while you practice your bhakti sadhana, you have no thirst, you know your bhakti sadhana will soon come to an end. You must maintain your thirst. Here, it's an insatiable thirst. One never is satiated or bored. The moment you become satiated with your bhajan, it signals the end of your bhakti. Hare Krishna. And we know this. When we sit and chant, or we we do Govardhan Parikrama, we think this is enough, my feet are also there, you know, and you know, and we feel when we read on off how many pages more until I finish this chapter, you know, so that I can put the book to rest, you know. This is the end of bhakti. Bhakti means a thirst. And for this, he prays to Krishna, please give me this, what is it called? The nectarian potion of pure love for you, which will make me strong and heroic enough to resist all the enemies and constantly engage in your devotional service without deviation. My dear devotees, those who are here, those who will listen to the recording, I will say now something personal and render this lecture a personal voice. If you ask me what I'm deeply convinced in regards to my own practice of bhakti, it is this. I know that I have to be overwhelmed with bhakti, which is a gift of my exalted spiritual master, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of the Swami, in this case, the Master Hari, who takes away all these unfortunate things from the heart. Alone it will not be possible. Hari has to come, take this nonsense away, and give the nectar. I will try my best, but if Krishna doesn't do the rest, which is the major part of it, I know there's no chance. And therefore, in this Kartik month, I strongly request all of you, pray to Radha and Krishna, pray to Giriraj, who is the greatest devotee, to overwhelm your heart with the prema shuddha dravam, the nectar drink of bhakti. That is very important. Another point on a level which is extremely practical, Raghunatha Goswami advises us in this verse that the time for bhakti is now. Don't wait until you are an old man, when you are totally dependent on others, when you are short-tempered, when you are other ailments, when you feel already the heat of old age, and when you are blind and in ignorance, you know, about your life, and so on. The time is now. Don't wait. This is also what Sri Prahlad advised us in the Bhagavatam. Kumara acharya pragya. From childhood, early childhood on, you should practice bhakti. If you do this, if you wait until you are older, and you will say, a little later I will chant nice rounds, a little later I will clean the heart, it might not happen, because in old age it's really difficult, because your body will become an obstacle to your bhajan. And if you don't have any taste, then it will be very difficult. You will only live from memories when you were young and energetic, but you can't do anything. So therefore he says, Prahlad says, this precious human birth is very rare. It can be lost at any moment. Don't misuse it for sense gratification, which comes and goes automatically by its natural own laws. No? You can use it to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna and obtain the greatest treasure. In the 11th canto, there is a similar verse which says, by using what is temporary, that is the body, you can get what is eternal. Now, in logic, This is an impossibility. You cannot use something which is categorically different from something else to get at something else. Let me give you an example. You can't get oil out of sand. No, you can't get fruit juice out of a stone. Doesn't work. It's not there. It's not inherent. So the eternality is also not inherent in the temporary body. But here comes the secret. If you apply the processes of bhakti, you will obtain Krishna with all his jewels and his crowns and his fruit. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In other words, by using the useless temporary body, you can get Krishna with all his jewels and his and the most valuable thing. You can get bhakti and so on. But on this path, and this we should never forget, and in the month of Kartik it is there, we need pushti, we need a nourishment, and a tushi, a satisfaction, and that comes from Krishna Katha. So from tomorrow, after Raghunath Goswami will dive into another world, the world of Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, his associates, and so on. But it's so important for us who read this work to understand the mood in through which he enters this world. He helplessly stands before the world. He feels the door is closed to this world. He feels he's overwhelmed by disqualification, and he is bound hand and feet by a cheating propensity to proclaim himself big, although he is fallen. This is what he feels. He feels himself biologically unfit even to reach that, because he feels his very body, which is supposed to be a sadhan sharira, works against him. But he now prays to the devotees of Krishna and to Krishna himself, whom he calls his master, his swami, and Hari. He will also soon he will reveal deeper and deeper layers of his heart. Wait until he comes to his Ishta Devata. But we will put the book, we will close the book now, and tomorrow evening we will continue. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai, Shri Braj Vilas Stava ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Om.